Hello, everyone. Welcome to Science Unscripted. It's Connor here.
And Gabe, and a bottle of beer. Connor, you have a beer in your hand, and it's called Camaro?
Camaro. It is
looks like a Corona.
Absolutely a ripoff, a knockoff of Corona beer, if you're familiar with that beer. Sold here in Germany for a much cheaper price and imported from, it looks like, France, from a street that is almost your name, Gabriel Boru. Rue Gabriel Boru.
They even call it cerveza. You would probably call it beer.
Right? Yeah. It's an absolute knockoff. And we have it in here for two reasons. One, we're going to be talking about alcohol today with regard to the pandemic. But more importantly...
Yeah, we got a birthday to celebrate.
And it is that of our esteemed colleague and studio technician, Christoph the Groovemeister Grova.
The studio technician, Christoph Grova, who is turning 65 tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yes, of course. Okay. Yeah, hello.
Happy birthday, Christoph.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Yes, I'm proud of being still there and just capable of something.
Just capable of
whatever
something.
It means.
That is ridiculously modest, Christoph.
Yeah, Christoph can do a lot of things with those buttons.
You are the jack of all trades.
He plays violin and he doesn't look 65. I can tell you that right now. And I hope you enjoy the beer that we've brought in for you on this occasion, celebrating a day early, but who's counting?
Let's get down to work.
Yeah, to the science. I think most people at this point are familiar with the fact that throughout the pandemic, drinking habits have changed. And some of the first data that came in, you know, alcohol sales going up, a lot of people wondering, hey, are people drinking more? It seems like they're drinking more. How do we know if that's the case?
Yeah.
And it turns out that there's a really interesting way to figure out how some specific kinds of drinking are happening.
Unique. I had never heard of this. How about trolling Twitter?
And let's leave it there for now, because I think, sorry to tease you, but it is worth wondering right now, you the listener.
How do you use Twitter to find out that we're drinking too much?
Yeah, and especially when people aren't going out and doing things, they're not really moving around, how would you know? We're going to go to
Rosemary Ward. She is at Miami University in Ohio. Okay, so it's not the University of Miami.
It's Miami University in
Ohio.
In the city of Oxford.
And it's Oxford, Ohio. Okay.
Not the Oxford in England.
Don't get confused with,
Oxford,
Miami University in Ohio.
In Oxford,
Rosemary
Ohio.
Ward.
Science Unscripted.
Hi, I'm Rosemary Ward. I am a faculty member of public health at Miami University, and I study blackout drinking on Twitter.
Blackout drinking on Twitter, already very, very interested. What did you find specifically with regard to the COVID-19 pandemic or during that time period?
We found a couple of things. The most interesting thing is that despite the pandemic having all these kind of lockdowns and we had to be more alone than ever before, other than communicating online, people still drank. And they drank not just a little bit, but they drank to what is called a blackout, which is quite a lot of alcohol. And they reported it in a very public forum on social media via Twitter.
How did you find that out? Did you just look at all of Twitter from March to April of 2020 and pinpoint the exact times that the word blackout was used? Or what method did you use to find that out?
That's a great question. So on Twitter, the nice thing about it is that there's constant content being created every day. Like, there are millions and millions of tweets all over the world being created. And what we looked at were tweets that were in English, written in the US. So we used some software called Crimson Hexagon to find those tweets that referenced the blackout. And then we used machine learning, so we trained a computer to read those words and know which ones were actually talking about a blackout. And this is funny, because you're supposed to be asking me questions, but do you guys know what a blackout is?
Ooh, okay. So, Gabe, go for it.
Are we talking in terms of number of drinks or
subjective perception of?
I would say when you wake up the next morning following the episode of drinking and you can't remember what happened?
That's really good. That's very close. So it's alcohol-induced amnesia. And so it's this idea that you could be walking, talking, having sex, peeing on the local church, whatever you're doing, due to the influence of alcohol, but you store no memory of it.
Okay, so you've got these machines sifting through Twitter or the artificial intelligence or the machine learning, and looking for clear examples, not just where people are saying, there was an electric blackout, but rather, oh my God, huge blackout last night. I have no idea what happened.
Yes. And so then what we looked at is tweets before the pandemic, what was the rate? And then the tweets after the pandemic, what was the rate? Based on overall number of tweets. And approximately 2% of all things posted on Twitter right now are about alcohol. Which when you think about all the topics we could be talking about, 2% being about alcohol is quite a lot.
Right now?
1 in 50 tweets is about alcohol?
Yes.
I'm following the wrong people. I'm getting all sorts of political updates.
Okay. So that's how many tweets are about alcohol right now. What about the comparison between blackout tweets during the pandemic or during the lockdown compared to before?
So we still had high levels. And that's what was surprising is because in the United States, bars were closed. You couldn't go to them. I mean, people were supposed to restrict themselves and stay in home. And they were still ordering alcohol online and drinking, most likely by themselves or via, you know, quarantinis online, to the point where they were not storing memories of it. And enough of them that they're posting it on, like, Twitter, on social media. So this behavior persisted despite all the social aspects of drinking that were constrained. And it's not that you're having a wine to deal with the anxiety of the pandemic at the end of the day. You're having, like, 4 and 5 and or more to forget, to actually not know what you did that night.
Yeah, I was going to say, Rosemary, do you study problematic drinking generally?
I do. So most of my studies outside of the work that I do on Twitter is with college student drinking. So of course, yeah, it's always problematic when it's college students.
And in your research, have you encountered people who are drinking that much on their own? Because I'm just thinking to myself right now, in my long history of drinking, I can't remember blacking out on my own. I could definitely remember blacking out with friends and going crazy at parties, but on my own, that seems like a new level of problem.
It's twofold. So it's not only that you're alone and so that you have nobody else to check on you, but if someone else does find you or something happens to you, COVID was already taxing the hospitals. So we're now adding a whole nother layer of alcohol taxing the hospitals as well. And that was not being talked about in the media or the news, that these new alcohol habits of drinking by yourself or not having so many people check on you, you're not in a bar. Nobody else is going to see you when you fall down or have an accident or anything like that. You're at home. And so that, again, puts people at risk. So it's probably not going to be for like 5 to 10 years till we really find out what happened with alcohol during this period.
So this kind of information is being shared on Twitter. People are going to Twitter and talking about how they blacked out. So that means that it's socially acceptable to do that? Because I remember the times when I blacked out back in the day, I didn't want to tell people about that. That was something that I was pretty embarrassed about. And now you're going and
bragging.
Gleefully bragging about it online?
Well, you're posting it and then either people are retweeting it or liking it. So think about, you get feedback in a way that when you did this before, like when I was in college 20 years ago, people were embarrassed. Like the initial research in blackouts was this idea that people who had alcoholism, like only serious drinkers got this. But what we're finding out now is no, social drinkers blackout. And so now we're posting it online to get likes and to get followers and to, you know, to normalize it even more.
Follow me on Instagram. I black out a lot.
I can't remember what I did last night. Help me recreate it.
Thank God social media didn't exist when I was in college.
Oh, no,
Rosemary,
no.
Is
no,
all I gotta say.
No, you wouldn't have stayed in college. You'd have been kicked out, or kicked out of high school.
And that was Rosemary Ward speaking to us from Oxford, Ohio.
And she, after we'd stopped recording and we're just kind of chatting with her afterwards, divulged something of interest, which was that she does not drink alcohol.
Mm. Yeah.
So she's surrounded by it, obviously. This campus, it's a beautiful-looking campus. I've never been there. But a healthy amount of drinking happening all around her all the time. She's researching it and doesn't.
And as part of her research has been around drunk people, but she herself does not drink. So
that's
interesting.
A very objective viewpoint on what she's looking at.
Yeah, and some serious takeaways there. That many people drinking to blackout on their own. Wow. And then tweeting about it, looking for attention, being proud of that?
I guess.
I can't. Back in the day, in college, when that would happen, a blackout episode, that was something I was pretty ashamed of. Embarrassed, at least.
Yeah, well, it depends.
Not something I would post. I would post on the old, I don't know, what did we do back then? Things on the message board?
Cork board with a tack? My name's Gabriel. No.
No, but I wouldn't go around bragging about it or talking about it.
Well, I think it depends on your audience. With a couple close friends, you might laugh about that, yeah. But with like announcing it to the world, no, that's not something you'd be proud of. And I think there are many people who may possibly regret having posted all that material later in their lives when it's freely available to be called up by, I don't know, someone looking to employ them, somebody just figuring out who they are.
But definitely, according to Rosemary Ward, possibly a sign that kind of drinking is becoming more of a problem?
Yeah.
In the States these days?
And normalized. And of course, if it's happening there, probably not just there. Another thing that she cleared up for us after that interview, which it was the first time I had ever heard that word, quarantini. And for those of you who also didn't know what that was, some of you probably do. Quarantini is apparently when you have a Zoom-style conference call with your friends and you drink together alone. So you're sitting in your bedroom, wherever your computer is, your office, and you're having a round of drinks and everyone's pouring their own drinks, I guess, and
talking to a screen and drinking. Are you drinking on your own then?
That's a very good question. And I guess
technically speaking, we
can kind of end it on that. What do you think? Are you drinking alone if you're Zoom conferencing and drinking? How have you experienced the lockdown with regard to alcohol? We'd love to hear. SU@dw.com.
Science Unscripted.